began this morning with the scripture, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Sing together as we sing, "Jesus' name above all names." Thank you. You may be seated, and our deacon is coming to lead us in prayer at this time.
What a beautiful day it is. Amen. Does everybody like me that thinks how great it is to be in God's house this morning? Amen. What a loving, gracious God we serve, that even though we went through what we have with the pandemic and everything else, we're still privileged to come back and be in His house and worship Him. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank You this morning for this beautiful house You've provided us to come and worship You in. Lord, that we can gather together and be a part of one another, be the family that we need to be, dear Lord, to serve You. Lord, we praise You this morning for Your love, for Your mercy. Dear Lord, as we look around the world and see the trouble seemingly everywhere You go, Lord, we can still open Your word up and see, dear Lord, that we have hope. Dear Lord, hope that this world does not have. Lord, we just thank You for the peace we have in our heart this morning, because we know we serve a living God. And Lord, we just pray that you'd go with us as we go out this week. Dear Lord, that we'd be the examples before a lost and dying world. Dear Lord, that they might see your love within us and desire to have what we have. Lord, just go with us through this service. Help us lift your wonderful name up and give you the praise and honor as we worship you this morning. Dear Lord, be with everyone here and help us to be the Christian people that we claim to be. Forgive us wherein we failed you, for we ask it in thy loving and holy name. Amen.
Stand together as we sing one of our favorite hymns, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Seated, and we'll hear from our pianist at this time.
Thank you. We're not picking this morning.
My heart can sing when I pause to but a stepping stone along a trail that's winding away so poor. This troubled world is not my final home, but until then
Father, we thank you for your love, grace, and mercy, and thank you for your inerrant, inspired, infallible, all-sufficient, glorious, holy word. Now bless us now as we continue to think about what your word says about this thing called missions. We ask it in Jesus' name, Amen. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Today's message is simply entitled, All. All. And you may be seated. Again, and I mentioned this a couple of Wednesdays ago when we were praying about and talking about missions. I will say, missions are us. Amen? That's what we are as, I could say, Southern Baptists, because there is such a great emphasis on missions, and there has been in our convention for so long. But as Christians, it should be that missions are us. We certainly, as we've heard from Rachel today, a dedicated missionary, we will hopefully be recharged just from hearing testimony and seeing what she does and what she's going to do and hearing challenges. May we be recharged in regard to missions. But as we think about everything that we've been through, you know, we can't forget that, you know, we're in the midst of a pandemic crisis as well as all of the chaos that's going on in our nation. I would say to you today that regardless, we are still on mission. It really doesn't matter what happens, we're still on mission. COVID-19, all the chaos in the world has not stopped our mission to be on mission, so we're still there. So I would say to us today, may we be all in. Now the title today is All, and I'll go beyond what I'm going to say here in just a moment to elaborate on that term as it applies to the passage. But we need to be, as God's people, all in. We need to totally dedicate ourselves to all that God would have us to do, especially in the area of missions. As Southern Baptist, of course, missions is definitely no strange concept to us because we've talked about it and preached about it, and now we're back at this very familiar passage that we seem to keep coming back to as Baptists. We really can't get enough of it, really. And every time you look at it, anytime you look at any portion of God's Word, it's always as fresh as a daisy. Amen? And so we come back to this today, and I would say to you, may we, when we think about this, may we be dedicated, because dedication is essential. May we certainly always be all in. Well, let's take that term today, all, the title of the message, as we see it here in the passage used over and over again. It refers to the full scope of what we call the Great Commission. Jesus gives us here a commission. He gives us some marching orders, and it's often been called the Great Commission. Matter of fact, we've sort of nicknamed ourselves, if I could say it that way, as a convention, the Great Commission, Baptist Convention. But we do indeed take that very seriously. And as we focus on this concept today, of all in regard to the Great Commission, let's look at this passage today. And of course, it could be expounded upon a lot further than what I will do this morning. But I want us to look at the way that is used. It's used four times, the word all, that is, the concept of all is used four times in this passage. First of all, Jesus uses it here in verse 18 when he says, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power, or in some of your versions may say authority. All authority has been given unto me, Jesus Christ our Lord says. Before he ascends to his Heavenly Father to the Father. Of course, post-resurrection, pre-ascension, he speaks these words to his disciples, and we hear them in our ears and in our hearts again this morning. Jesus Christ, our Lord, beloved, has always been God. Amen? We believe that with all of our hearts. He is God. He's always been God, and he always will be. But the Son of God, as he is called by God's word, became, thank God, the Son of Man. Did he not? Praise God he became the Son of Man. Praise God that he became one of us, because it was through him becoming a human being that he did what he did on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ, when he was conceived in the womb of a virgin and was born on that wonderful day, he had a 33-year mission, and bless God, he 110% accomplished that mission as he went to the cross and died for our sins. And because of what he did for us, and because of his accomplishments, that, by the way, he alone could only accomplish, he is the head of the body. He's the head of the body of Christ. This is his body. We've met together this morning as a local assembly as the body of Christ. And Jesus Christ has authority, an absolute authority here and in every church this morning. In other words, he tells us what to do. We don't bring anything to the table. We don't have anything to bring to the table. We don't bring our suggestions and our skills. We just come to God just broken before him, and he takes us and he makes us a useful vessel, thank God. And so we're under his authority, totally under his authority. This is his church. He tells us what to do. Jesus Christ indeed is preeminent in the church. I like that word, preeminent. Paul uses that word, especially in the book of Colossians. Let me just read a passage from Colossians, to you this morning as Paul writes to this church at Colossae. He says this, he gives thanks to God, verse 12, the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, there is in this passage a lot of theology, some deep theology. I certainly will not take time to expound upon it today, but I want you to listen to these words because in and of themselves they leave a profound impact in our hearts. Listen. He gives that thanks to God, who hath, verse 13, he says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Somebody say amen right there. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created. Jesus is the creator, by the way. That are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all, there's that word again, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. There it is, the preeminence. I heard Neil Hager, a pastor that came here years ago and preached revival for us down from Georgia. He said this to me a long, long, long time ago. He said this. He said, Steve, in a local Baptist church or any church, either one or two people will have the preeminence. It'll either be Christ or man. He said, but never both. Never both. Jesus has the preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. I love that word. We've been reconciled, beloved. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Boy, I thought y'all go crazy over that and just say, hallelujah, amen. We've been reconciled to Almighty God. I thought y'all just come unglued there. Maybe I should read it again and again and again. Y'all mighty quiet this morning. after having read what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary and who He is in our church, oh dear me, He's preeminent. Amen? Amen. He has authority. The question is He preeminent in your life, practically speaking? If you're a born-again child of God, He is your Lord, but are you practicing Lordship as far as Him being your Lord? Are you a practicing servant of Christ? A lot of folks don't like that word today, servant, but bless God, we're blessed to be servants of God. We're blessed to be slaves of Christ and bond slaves of our heavenly God. He is, that is, Jesus Christ is, the King of kings. He's the King of heaven and of earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He owns it all. He made it all. And we are His people. Not only did He create us, He saved us. Amen. He loved us enough, though we fell from Him, and though we're sinners by birth, He loved us enough to reach way down, send His only Son to die for us. He reaches way down by the power of His Spirit and wakes us up spiritually, and we become born-again children of God. I'm thankful for that. So we are to obey Him. Why? Because He has all authority. All authority. Secondly, He tells us to go into all nations. All nations. He says in verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit." Go teach and preach. Of course, if we combine the Gospels together in regard to the different renditions of and expressions of what we call the Great Commission, if we put all of that together and harmonize the Gospels, including Acts chapter 1, we do realize that we are to go and we are to teach and to preach and we are to baptize. Baptism upon people's profession of faith. Baptism as a result of conversion. When a person is converted to Christ, we baptize them, marking them as those who identify with Christ. So that's what we do. We, the church, are part of the go, so to speak. Going into all the world, all nations, as Rachel just brought out, and she said many things that of course we're going to talk about and things that we need to talk about. All nations, everywhere, we're going there. We're going to these people groups, to these unreached, unengaged people groups because we love God enough to obey His commands and we know that He has authority in our lives and we are all part of the go. How in the world are we part of the go? We're part of the go. There, as we see in verse 19, we're part of the go in that we pray, as Rachel's brought out, and that we give as we have opportunity to go. And by the way, thank you, Riverside, I say again, for being such a great church that gives to God. I commend you. You know, many times in Scripture, God's people are commended for doing certain things. I commend you in Jesus' name for being a giving church. Through this whole thing of COVID-19, Mary will tell you, this church has been a giving church. You didn't drop the ball and say, oh, well, we're sick now. We're in a pandemic, so we don't have to give. You didn't take it that way. You did what you should do. So we pray, we seek God's face and ask God to send forth laborers into the harvest, as Rachel brought out from Luke 10. We're asking God to do a great work and to plow the ground so that we might plant the incorruptible seed in the hearts of people who need to hear. So we pray and we give. And then we send people. Thank God we're a sending church. We're part of sending and launching people out into the mission field. And then we travel ourselves. Now I know sometimes because of physical conditions and providential hindrance, you might not can travel like you once could have. And I understand that. We can travel when we can, and certainly lately we've been altered in regard to our travel. It really broke our hearts that we weren't able to go to West Virginia this year. It really broke our hearts that we weren't able to go to New York this year. Looking forward to that. And now we can't go. But we're still on mission, right? We're still the church. So we have this opportunity to pray and to give and to send and to travel. That's being part of the go. And Jesus tells us, of course, in Acts 1:8 that when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we will be given power, the ability to proclaim, to propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit enables us to go to, as he says, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. As far as that goes, we are the uttermost part of the earth, as far as Jerusalem goes. So to translate that to us, and we've said this many, many times, we pray, give, send, and travel in regard to local missions, regional missions, national missions, and global missions. LRNG, you know how I am about acronyms. I just like them a lot. Local, national, or global, excuse me, PUI. Local, regional, national, and global. But here's a question for you. How involved are you? You know, I asked you before, how preeminent is Christ in your life? He has authority. How preeminent is he in your life, practically speaking? Well, how practically speaking much are you involved in the go? You know, the best gift we could give this old world now is the gospel. You've heard me say it before many times since all this stuff's gone down. Since all the nation's been set on fire and everything's coming down the pike that's just so negative and so riotous and so ungodly. But what those people who break windows and smash police cars, and what these people who say defund the police and all that stuff, what they need, dear God, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The reason they act the way they do is because they don't know the Master. They don't know the Prince of Peace, and they need Him in their lives. And the best gift we could give them is the gospel of Jesus Christ, not just here, but around this world. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for those who feel called to local missions and those who feel called to regional missions. I'm thankful for those who are called to national and international global missions. I'm thankful because God puts that in our hearts. We're all part of all of it. But there's some specific things that we're involved in. Rachel can't be in New York or California and Asia Pacific at the same time. She can't because she's not omnipresent. And we can't either. I don't know where you feel most led to be a part of. But somewhere out there is a place for you to be a part of. Now, we're a part of a church that's involved in all of that. And I'm thankful we're plugged in every area. But we need to be plugged in further, if you want to put it that way. We need to know more and do more. Because we've got to go to all of those nations. We're going to get my sweet daughter Wednesday from Charlotte. She's coming home from Paris, France. Paris. Is that what you would call a foyer in France, in French? A foyer? Is that? She's coming through the foyer to come to visit with her. She's coming home for 6 months, and she may go to another place after that. You're shaking your head, honey. We don't know. Oh, zip my mouth. Okay. Well, I can't say much more about that, but she may be going somewhere else after that. But hey, you know, I'm just so thankful for those missionaries who are called to go to foreign fields. I'm thankful for those who are called to, you know, go to New York or West Virginia, wherever. I'm just thankful for these who go, who take the gospel. You know, we baptize people when they come to Christ in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. I love the reference there to the triunity of God as Jesus speaks. We baptize them when they come to Christ, and hopefully, of course, that's the desired end result anytime we evangelize. But there are prisoners of war out there, and that's what they are, and we must go get them. We are those rangers, Mary. We're those army rangers or whatever you want to call us. We're those soldiers who are equipped as we shod our feet with the gospel of peace and wear the whole armor of God and go into enemy territory and rescue those people as we give them the gospel of peace. So he said that all power has been given and all nations should we go to. And then he says all things commanded. In other words, I want you to teach these people who come to Christ to obey all things that I've commanded. That is the scripture. That is the gospel. The gospel first. They need to obey the gospel by saying yes to Jesus. And that, again, is what the world needs right now is the gospel. But then, as Rachel brought out, we also need to nurture the people of God with the Scripture so that they may, as Peter says, grow thereby. We come and become disciples so that we can disciple others. This thing called the church that we become a part of when we're born again is not a club to join, but a life to live. We all get the same Holy Spirit, and we have the same book, the Word of God, to live by. And bless God, we've got to believe it for what it is and preach it like it is. And don't take anything away from it. And don't say, oh, well, it was written by men. It's written by God. He just chose to use the minds and the hands and the personalities even of men. But he still got it said just exactly as he wanted to say it. And this is the dripping with salt, inerrant, powerful, everlasting word of the living God. And that is what we have. And we all have it as God's people. We have the same spirit, the same book. And so we are to learn this book and grow. And then he says one more thing. In that last verse, he says, I want you to go into all the world because I've got all authority. And I want you to teach people, once they're saved, to observe everything, all things that I say. But I am with you, he said, always. Always. At all times. Until the end. Until Jesus rescues us from this globe. We are always with him. And then when we leave this globe, we'll be with him for eternity, of course, and he will still be with us. Amen? That's the ultimate desire. Anybody looking forward to going to heaven one day? Hallelujah to God. And escaping everything that we have to deal with today? Huh? Yeah. Right after COVID started, I started getting these floaters in my eye. In my right, anybody have floaters in your eye? Man, them things are driving me crazy. And I'm thinking, God, take them away, take them away. And I'm reminded, you're getting older, old boy. And things let go, turn loose, and they don't work like they used to work. I was over at Josh's house the other day, and he had all of us over there. We're talking Goober. We're talking Michael. We're talking, not Caleb, he was in, started to say France. He was in Charlotte, right. Who else do I have, honey? Who? Noah and Josh. Rachel too, yeah. Anyway, all of us boys over there. I was one of the boys. And he wanted us to move a swing set that he got from his church that they were going to throw away. It's a bunch of big wooden thing, you know, like the one we've got back here, sort of. And so we were there, and I grabbed it. He said, Daddy, why don't you walk over there and help Mama? And y'all, I was really split in my heart. I thought, well, that's great. I didn't want to do it anyway. I don't want to have to lift anything too heavy. If I don't have to, I don't mind, really. I don't. But I mean, you know, if I've got boys around me, I'm like, you do it, you know. I mean, isn't that right? That's what they're for, right? We have youngins to wait on us, right? But it, at the same time, I felt, well, yeah, but I thought, he don't think I can lift this thing. He wants me to get out of the way because he wants the real men to do it, not the old man, right? Well, I don't know. We just get older, don't we? How did I get on that? I don't have any idea how I got there. Oh, I was talking about going to heaven, wasn't I? Yeah. Aren't you by the grace of God right? But listen, we're going to go to heaven one day, Charlie, and we'll have glorified bodies. Hallelujah to God. And we won't have to worry about being weak with floaters and with sneezes and coughs and COVIDs and all that kind of stuff. It'll all be gone. Amen. And we can just rejoice in that. Hallelujah. We'll be with God. That's just an extra. It has nothing to do with this message, but hey, it's an extra today. But anyway, I'm talking about eternal life. Eternal life starts at the point of conversion for every person, and it never ends. But when we are saved and born again in this nasty now and now on this earth, the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus Christ, and the person of the Holy Spirit comes to live in us, and we have him with us at all times. I can't help but believe that old Matthew, when he was writing this last part here, the words of Jesus, that he was thinking back to what he first wrote when he was talking about the coming of Christ. What did he call him? What did Matthew call him? He called him Emmanuel. Folks, what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Isn't that what Jesus said? I'll be with you. I'm not going to leave you. Oh, He is with us. The person of the Holy Spirit. So, think about this now. All power, authority, all nations of the world, all things commanded, Scripture, Gospel, in all ways, at all times. So may we be all in the power of Christ, preach this gospel and the holy word of God, the Scripture, to the people of this world, local, regional, national, global, with the presence of the Lord. Let me say it again. In the power of Christ, preach the gospel to the people of this world with the presence of the Lord. Now you got two sermons in one. Amen? We're not alone in this, folks, as the family of God. Getting back to last week, we are those people who are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. We are a nation in a nation. We're not done with that. God's gripped my heart with this, and we're going to continue. And we're going to continue, actually, with this same subject next week, Lord willing. We, as a nation in a nation, represent a particular nation, a particular kingdom. That is the kingdom of God. And we represent, as representatives in the kingdom of God, and of the kingdom of God, we represent the King of Kings. We're those ambassadors for Christ. So we can, should, and must do all of this. Yes, it's our duty. Yes, it's our nature. And yes, praise God, it is our privilege. It's not a got-to situation. Rachel, it's a get-to situation. She knows that. Every missionary knows that. I've never met a missionary that says, oh, I'm going to Indonesia, but I don't want to. I can't stand those people over there, but I'm going because God keeps pulling me over there. No, God gives them a heart, does He? Not. And He makes them want to go. Do you want to go, Rachel? Yeah. Can you imagine her saying, well, I really don't want to do this, y'all, but here it is. I've never heard a missionary do that. I've never seen a Christian say, I really don't like serving God, but I'm going to do it anyway. Now, I know it's hard sometimes, and I know it's going to be hard, and it's hard for Hannah, it's hard for our missionaries, it's hard for our international missionaries, our North American board. It's hard for all of them, and sometimes I'm sure they want to say, forget it. But you know, they have this want to. They have this understanding that it is a divine and grand privilege. So, Rachel, thank you today for coming. I thank all of our missionaries in our Southern Baptist Convention or other mission organizations such as Ethnos 360, which was New Tribes. Thank you for taking this great commission seriously, because we are this nation in a nation, and we go to different nations. So I would say to you today, whether you're upstairs or downstairs or listening soon by Facebook, I would say to you that I'm calling you to repentance. There may be some things in your life as people of God that you need to get right with God in regard to being on mission and understanding what all means here and being a part of this. I invite you to repent. And let me tell you, if you repent, I don't have to get you to come down and say, I repent. It'll show up in your life. That's the proof's in the pudding, right? But for those of you who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I would call you to repentance. I would call you to know that He's died on the cross for you. That you're a sinner like I am, we all are. And that He died for us. He was nailed on an old rugged Roman cross. He suffered pain for us. God unleashed His wrath on Him because He was the only perfect sacrifice who would do, Denton. And He did do, didn't He? And He was there on that cross and He died for us. And they took Him down, a dead man, put Him in a tomb. He rose on the third day. Praise God, He's alive. He's a living, risen Savior, a risen, living Savior. And He says that whosoever shall call upon Him shall be saved. Have eternal life. If you're not a born-again child of God, I would say to you today, come to Christ and repent of your sin. Turn to Him and believe His gospel. And if you need to talk to me about any of this, please, I'm not hard to find. Please see me after church, call me up this week, please come to me. If you just want to talk about it, if you're ready to say, I'm ready to be saved, whatever it is, would you commit your all to Jesus? Would you commit to being all in? Father, we love you. Take this message, God, this challenge from Rachel and this message from your word, and just use it for your glory. And we'll ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me today? Hey, we love you. Don't forget, we do have opportunities to give. Of course, distinguished by the signs there. This plate, people downstairs, you need to come up to give. There's a plate here in the sanctuary and a plate in the foyer. And you can give. I love it. Thank you, Rachel, for that new word. I'm a word person. I like new words. I make up words quite often. But anyway, listen, you give as the Lord would have you to give today. And don't forget, this afternoon, 3 o'clock, come back and be with Rachel. Amen. And we'll talk some more. Amen.